Hello, welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey Carris and I'm here with Annie Waters. Hi, Annie.
Hello.
And this week we've been reading The Fell by Sarah Moss. But first, book news. And I noticed, Annie, there's a Los Angeles Book Awards, the finalists, which we have followed a bit in the past. And we won't go through all of them, but the finalists for fiction, there's Harrow by Joy Williams, In the Company of Men by Veronique Tadjo, and American Estrangement by Saeed Sara Fiezadeh. Have you read any of those?
No.
I've not Excellent.
Even heard of any of them being published here. They may well be, but I don't
we're back
know about
to
them.
Our usual record
yeah,
of
just totally nonplussed.
So I'm going to look out for them. Sometimes they're not out here yet when these shortlists get announced. Then first fiction finalists include Assembly by Natasha Brown and When We Cease to Understand the World by Benjamin Labatut, translated by Adrian Nathan West. And I hadn't realised that was a debut when we cease to understand the world.
Yeah, I think it's a debut fiction. He's written non-fiction before and this kind of skirts the line between fiction and non-fiction.
Because that was also in the Booker International shortlist, wasn't it? And Assembly we loved. So that's coming up in quite a few lists as it deserves to be. The other one that I thought was interesting is, again, Razorblade Tears by S.A. Cosby in the Mystery Thriller, which we loved, and also in Mystery Thriller, The Turnout by Megan Abbott. So there were just some interesting ones there to keep an eye on, but I don't think there's much other book news, Annie.
I can't think of any. The one from that list that jumped out at me was Stone Fruit, which was in the graphic novel category by Lee Lai.
Oh, yes.
Because she's Australian. She's from Melbourne, but I think she's living in Canada at the moment. Her work's really beautiful. She's done lots with Liminal Mag, which is out of Melbourne, highlighting Asian Australian authors. Yeah, I really love her work.
Oh, very good. So that was Stone Fruit by Lee Lai. Oh, I'll have to look out for that. And coming up in book news will be the Women's Prize long list announcement.
So we're entering award season.
I love it. So I was going to suggest we do our predictions just so that we can comically fail, as you can imagine. But I think a shortcut would be Eric Carl Anderson and Anna James do a yearly predictions video on BookTube, and it's fantastic. I haven't actually, it's like a treat that I'm saving. I haven't actually watched it yet, but they go through, each of them make a list of, I think, 12 or 20 that they believe will be on the long list, and then they check back in as the prize, you know, as those dates get announced. So I would just recommend you go and watch that.
Great.
Because we'll only get it wrong, won't we?
No, of course. I think Assembly will definitely be on there.
I'm interested to see if Devotion by Hannah Kent would be, if that's eligible. I'm not sure.
Definitely on the Stellar, I reckon. But
yeah.
I don't know about the
Does the Women's Prize have Australian fiction?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a bit broader, you know.
Yes. Interesting. So now on to our book of the week, which is The Fell by Sarah Moss.
So Sarah Moss is an English writer and academic, and she's been nominated three times for the Wellcome Prize. She's written six novels plus some nonfiction and academic work. Her book Ghost Wall, which came out in 2018, was nominated for the Ondaatje Prize and also was on the long list for the Women's Prize. She's also published a book called Names for the Sea, which is a memoir of her time in Iceland. And that sounds fascinating. I'd really like to read that.
Yeah, I'd like to read that.
So this book, The Fell, her most recent, is a pandemic novel that takes place over just one evening. And it's about a mother, Katie, single mum, whose son Matt is 16. And they have recently been told that they have to self-isolate because they've been in contact with someone who's got coronavirus. Katie is going a bit spare. She can't work at her job at the cafe. She's not used to being confined. They live in a very mountainous kind of rural area, and she is a big walker, and she is really struggling not being able to do that. And so one afternoon she leaves the house with her boots on and disappears. And so we see it from several perspectives, from Matt's perspective, from Alice, the older woman who lives next door, and also from Rob's perspective. And he is in the team of people who have to go out into the mountains and look for people who are lost. So it's really tightly written. It's got this flowing stream of consciousness kind of pace to it, and it reads like a thriller. It's only 200 pages, but it's, yeah, I found it a real cracker. What did you think?
I had mixed feelings about this one. Yes, so I loved Ghost Wall by Sarah Moss, and the caliber of her writing is here in this book. So it wasn't like I was disappointed. I thought she's just so economical, so spare, and she is really on point. She gets the character and you feel like they're real. It's very realistic. And she manages to extract the drama from any scene, like she did in Ghost Wall, which was a sort of a, I don't want to say small story, but it's a short novel, and in one space, the archaeological camp, and like this one is obviously very claustrophobic in a home, and she somehow extracts the dramatic moments and the crisis moments of those small things in ordinary people's lives, and she just pairs it back and cuts it, and so you get left with this really on point novel, and short, you know, as you say, 200 pages, and so all of that was there. The tone is very knowing, it's witty, she's very self-aware, so the characters are relatable in that sense, and as you say, the tension does build. I could feel that tension by the end. I wanted to just see how will this play out. The thing that I didn't like was Kate, and that was a problem because Kate is the central character, and she's the one that's really the premise of the book is Kate's decision to go for this walk. That's the drama of the book. That's what it all hinges on. And it's really interesting. There's an article in the New York Times, I think it was, about pandemic novels. There are probably lots of articles about, are we ready for pandemic fiction? And it's really here whether we like it or not, because as some Ian McEwan said, I didn't want to write a pandemic novel, but it was like a giant tree trunk that fell across my path. If you're a socially realist author, which Sarah Moss very much is, you can't avoid it. It's part of the landscape. So the pandemic novels are here, and the issue that I found was that Kate is in a house with a garden and complaining about being cooped up for 10 days. And I know that that's very real. And I know, as we know from psychologists, there's a very real mental health sort of pandemic alongside the coronavirus pandemic, because the isolation is really hard on people. But coming from, we're not in Melbourne, but following Melbourne's story over the last 2 years, and they're the most locked down city in the world, this idea that a woman couldn't cope with a garden, she's not in an apartment block for 10 days, was really hard for me to sympathise with.
I did care about Kate, and I really felt for her, because I think it's not just that. It's not,
well, of course, and that's the mastery of Sarah Moss, is that she introduces, there's obviously a lot that's gone before that, and this is the thing that tips her over the edge, so to speak.
And I think she is a woman who's only hanging on by a thread. And I think I liked the fact that the decision to walk out the door, even though you see that from an external perspective to start with, once you hear about it from Kate's perspective, it's not even a decision really that she makes consciously. It's like her body just goes and she follows and then ends up in this terrible situation. I think she's kind of just ceded to her brain isn't capable of deciding not to do that. And so then she's there, and then, well, she's left the house now, so may as well go on this nice walk that she's been waiting to do. I think it gave me a bit more perspective on, I mean, I'm not that type of person. I'm very happy to stay in the house for 10 days, and especially if I've got enough books, I'll be fine. But I can understand that there are people who, or for whom, activity and busyness is a part of their life, and without that you just go absolutely mental. And I loved seeing it from Matt's perspective too, her son, because he can recognise that she's not okay, but he doesn't really have the tools to help with that. For me, what the book was about was, what does it take to be a good person in the pandemic? And I think it kind of humanised some of those people who made decisions that from the outside or from the media were very easy to point the finger at and say, well, why did you get on a plane and go to here? Or why did you do this? Selfishness wrapped up in a whole lot of other things.
Did think she was being very selfish, especially given she's left Matt to have to then be the adult, and she's meant to be the adult in that, in that little family. But you're right, I think it was leaving it open for the reader to perhaps empathise a bit more with people who from the outside just look like they've broken the rules and behaved selfishly. Yeah. And I think it would be a great book club book because everyone would have a different opinion and she certainly gets you enough into Kate's head, and Kate's not unaware that she's being selfish as well. So she's very hard on herself about it, and she, you know, she realizes she's stuffed up.
Well, I think especially in the context. And
Rob's a beautiful counterpoint to that because he's the mountain rescue you know, volunteer, and he's got a lovely attitude about all of that because, of course, there are other people who, people, as he says, who make mistakes all the time. So it's the sum of the message that I thought was beautiful from the book was don't be too hard on people who stuff up because they might be doing their best, you know. And so I was being quite hard on Kate, but That was just the issue that I had with the book because then it meant I didn't care if she got found. I didn't care what happened to her. But I did love Matt and Alice. Mm. Is Alice the neighbour and Rob? So I sort of loved all of those characters. And it was just, it was a very interesting, I thought, putting us, A, in a claustrophobic scenario and B, trying to get on board. And because I think you're meant to be rooting for Kate and sort of feeling like, oh, I really understand that she's had to bust out and I hope they find her. And that was the, I just didn't care so much.
I don't think I felt like that. I think I felt sad for her and I could understand the reasons that she did what she did. And I wanted her to be found because she's a person. And when, you know, once she does get hurt and the subjectivity of that and want the experience of being in her body in pain, then I felt for her, really. I wanted her to make it through and for Matt's sake too.
It's just quite sad, wasn't it?
It was a sad book, but then uplifting as well because I think those supporting characters, you know, they volunteer their time and energy, as we've all seen in the pandemic. You know, community kind of steps up to support the people who aren't coping, and that's really beautiful.
But it's interesting, this article was saying that some of the issues with the pandemic novel, what's funny about the, well, not funny, what's challenging is that part of the experience, they're calling it the boring apocalypse because part of the experience is just being, isolating at home. There's a boredom factor. Mm-hmm. So how do you craft a really interesting, you know, that's not dramatic from a, you know, for a novel. And so it was very interesting that Sarah Moss set herself that challenge of the whole novel is about that. Whereas Louise Erdrich, who had wrote The Sentence, which was set over the course of 2020, the pandemic did feature in it, but it was almost just part of the backdrop, and they had bigger issues to deal with. They had the George Floyd murder, for example, and all sorts of things. It was more one
complicating factor.
It was a factor, yeah.
Well, also, I think I was worried at the beginning of the pandemic what the pandemic novels would be like, and I think I didn't expect or didn't realise that they would be, one, crafted by such incredible writers. So, you know, these people could write about cheese toast and you'd read it and be delighted. But also I think I was thinking of it in terms of a pandemic novel like Station Eleven, which I love, but that is the big whole global large-scale effects of a pandemic and also almost the aftermath, whereas what these people are doing are crafting everyday novels, and the pandemic is just this complicating factor in everyone's lives, which is what it has been, you know. And I think, I mean, we've lived through such a rarefied version of the pandemic here in Adelaide.
Yeah, of course.
That, this book being set in the UK in November 2020, that already lived through 6 months of lockdowns, and so 10 more days on top of that, I can understand how that would send you a bit balmy. But yeah, it is the mundanity of it. And then, you know, there's always someone worse off than you, and these people are kind of, yeah, berating themselves for feeling down in the dumps because, oh, well, so-and-so's got it worse than me.
Yes.
And this kind of guilt or checking your privilege all the time. But it's a crap situation for everyone. Everyone's got a bad situation. That it was so short as well. Like, I think if this had been extended beyond the 200 pages that it is, it would have become a bit tedious perhaps.
Yeah, we couldn't do the whole 10 days with Kate and Matt.
No, we already lived through enough of that. But I think because there's that, the pandemic is the background, and then the thrilling point is that she's gone out and got herself hurt on the moors.
Interesting, the pandemic fiction genre.
Yeah, I'm keen to read more from, you know, the article mentioned what Ian McEwan, Anne Tyler. There are a few others that I was keen to read.
Yeah. So, and Sarah Moss said, I gather from that article that some reviews when it came out in the UK panned it, or I don't know if panned is the word, but criticised it for being about this boring experience of being locked down in the pandemic. But she said others have said to her it's reassuring and or comforting that we can make art out of this experience. So a bit like Ali Smith writing about the,
that's,
you know,
exactly
that, the seasonal quartet. Yeah. You have someone who's describing it and documenting.
Yeah, and the feelings that go along with it. And it's almost like a feeling of nostalgia now looking back, and they're all worried about sanitizing surfaces, and it's kind of like, oh, don't worry about that so much. You know, it's helpful, but, you know, wear your mask and we've learnt so much in such a short amount of time.
Absolutely. Well, that was The Fell by Sarah Moss. Mm-hmm. And coming up, we'll be reading Olivia Lang's Everybody, which I'm looking forward to. So stay tuned. In the meantime, you can rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. That would be great because that helps people find the podcast. So thank you. You can email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook at Books on the Go. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at A. Bailey Karras. And Annie?
I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at Mr. _Annie.
Fabulous. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.